there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
We've been going through the book of Philippians, one chapter at a time, and this is the third part. And in this particular one, I'm going to read the entire chapter 3. Hear now the word of God. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is not troublesome to me, for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of those who mutilate the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. I've circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I already have obtained this or have already reached that goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God. Holy Spirit, we ask you that by your power of knowledge, by your power of wisdom, by that which you impart to us, by your indwelling in our heart, we ask that you make perfect the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 year out of my life, for some crazy reason, I decided I was going to wrestle. And so I had this rope. The rope went up, and so the idea was that you had to climb it. Now, Stan made it a little bit more difficult. You had to climb it without using your legs. And basically, nobody could make it all the way up and all the way down without using your legs. And so now, it makes me think of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. In a Wonderful Life, you remember when he was courting his wife-to-be, and he told her that, I'll lasso the moon for you. Do you remember that? And I was thinking this idea, when I started thinking about the ropes hanging down, I thought, man, what if you lassoed the moon and the rope hung down? And what a long way that would be, huh, to go to climb on that rope. And then plus, you know, it would be tugging you and moving around the earth. I don't know how you'd hold on to it. But it made me think of something else beyond that. Because the rope that God gives us comes from heaven. And this rope comes down to us. And it's the same thing as the rope that saves you from the water when they throw it out from the boat and you grab onto the lifesaver. And mysteriously, that idea of grabbing onto the lifesaver is your faith in Jesus Christ. And so that lifesaver grabs onto you and never lets you go. And it's the same kind of thing that when we grab onto this rope that comes down from heaven, we're grabbing onto this rope that won't let us go if we have genuine and honest faith in Jesus Christ. And so we climb up this rope. And the curious thing is that when, you know, we were in the gym climbing up this rope, or if we were trying to climb up a rope to the moon, the higher and higher you would get, the harder it would be, right? But the rope to God, the rope to heaven that goes up, gets easier as we go, or it should get easier as we go. It's not perfect, and obviously, you know, our lives have these pitfalls and so forth on the way up, and there are struggles sometimes, but as we get closer and closer and closer and closer, we still have a long way to go, but it should get easier. Philippians chapter 3, then, has kind of five themes running through it to kind of illustrate this struggle of the rope going up. Number one is that Paul tells us to rejoice. Number two, he tells us to not rely on our own selfish works. Number three, he tells us that knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that we could do. And that pressing on knowing Jesus and holding fast to him is what we ought to be about. And lastly, for we who are citizens of heaven should be looking up the rope toward heaven. Those five things are in this third chapter of Philippians. Paul reiterates, rejoices in Philippians a full number of times, and he is constantly reminding those in Philippi to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Remember, he's writing to Christians. So he's telling Christians, don't forget, you know, don't get bogged down in earthly things. You know, rejoice because you're a child of God. He says in verse 1, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, because he says this a number of times in chapters 1 and 2, to write the same things to you is not troublesome to me. And for you, it's a safeguard. Just remember, rejoice. You're a child of God. Be joyful. And that constant theme throughout the letter is the joy of the Christian life. You know, sometimes that's hard to do in our lives. We get things bombarded on us, thrown at us, and it's hard to break through some of that garbage and trash and see the joy of being a child of the living God, of him reaching down with this rope and it just grabs onto our hands, and we can't even let go if we try. And we move up the rope. The Christian life is a wild ride down the raging rapids of life, isn't it? I mean, it really is. If you trust in God and you have that joy and you have that hope, and where we have comfort and we have joy and we know that the raft will never tip over because he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's scary sometimes, right? It's exhilarating. It's a great and joyful adventure. And you're holding the hand of God throughout our lives. You're holding on to the rope. And the further and further up you get, I mean, you're just getting higher and higher and higher with your focus on heaven. And Paul's just saying, be joyful in all of this. Have a spirit of joy. Reiterated when he writes to the Galatians, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, yeah, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So joy is part of this relationship that we have with Christ. And it ought to pervade our lives. And I know it's hard, and I know we don't always do it, but it's a reminder that Paul's giving the Philippians. And it's a reminder we should take too. Paul reminds us, secondly, that we're not supposed to count on our own works. Our own works are nothing toward salvation. He says in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 7, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, in other words, if anyone else has reason to be confident as a Hebrew like he is, who's circumcised, I have more. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a member of the people of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. And as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. Paul is making the point here that the true church never was and never will be those who are circumcised. In other words, that was an indication of the membership of the nation of Israel. Well, but Paul's saying that doesn't matter. That doesn't make any difference at all. And in Philippi and Galatia and all these other parts where he was going out and speaking to the Gentiles, they weren't circumcised. And so that was a big issue between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they made a big issue of it, like that little flick of the knife of work, is going to make a difference in someone's life. It doesn't. It's not works of any sort, of any kind, that bring you into the kingdom of God. The true church are those who discount their own lives and give their lives to Christ, saved by the grace of God through true, authentic faith in Jesus. Now, you and I, we can't read one another's hearts. I mean, all we know is that you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that's what we have to take. God knows who that true and authentic believer. What Jesus say in Matthew, he said that there will come a time when you will reach heaven, and I will say, I don't know who you are. And so there's a difference between going to church on Sunday, and there's a difference between that and being a Christian. Works don't make you a Christian. Now, if you are a true, authentic believer, you want to come to church on Sunday because you're fulfilling what God's commandments are. You want to come to the service because you want to be part of the children of God. You want to come to the service because you know that it opens the eyes of your heart to see God's presence here with us now. And so we want those things. But it's not by our own works that that happens. And so you don't compare yourself to other people and say, well, I'm better than him or I'm better than her. If I get to heaven and God says, why should I let you in my heaven? I can say, well, here's my good stuff and here's my bad stuff, and this far outweighs the... Is that going to get you in heaven? No, never did, never will. It's faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that does. And so rather than compare yourself to the perfection of other people around you, compare yourself to the perfection of Christ. That's the rope that goes to infinity. It's the rope we will be climbing for all eternity. Get closer and closer to Christ. Comparing us and our works to the perfection of Christ is perpetual, unlimited. You can't compare it. And so Paul moves to this whole idea of knowing Jesus, that there is no greater thing that you can do. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, more than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. There is a singer-writer by the name of Graham Kendrick. You know who he is. We sing a number of his songs. He wrote the song, Knowing You, Jesus. It comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Compared to what? Knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you. There is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Those are the words of Graham Kendrick. Those are beautiful words. This tower of life that many people struggle to build is nothing. It's rubbish compared to the life God builds for you through faith in Christ. It's two different things. One is earthly focused, one is heavenly focused. One comes from the wiles and travails of men, the other comes from God. One mortar is weak in the bricks. One mortar is strong and will never fail. See, our own methods of being right with God through merits of good works are nothing compared to God's calling of being right with Him through faith in Jesus. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Philippians 3, verse 10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In verses 3 and 4, in knowing you, Jesus, He says, now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Being right with God. Oh, to know the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. That is our second birth. That is our spiritual rebirth. To rise again with Christ, to participate in His death, by our sins that He took on the cross, and participate in His new life. These are beautiful words that really show the desire to press on to know Jesus more, to know Him better, to set our sights on heaven alone. Philippians 3, 12 through 16 talks about this idea of knowing of pressing on to know Jesus and to hold fast to Him. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, Paul says, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me His own. I do not consider that I've made it my own yet, in other words, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies in the past and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. As you're growing and learning and more about Jesus, you press on, you hold fast, you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you hold on to the heavenly rope that will not let you go. And great joy abounds in the one whose view is heavenly and does not look down. With our eyes toward heaven, we climb higher and higher and higher. And if you've ever been on anything that's high, you know that it gets kind of unnerving when you do what? When you look down, when you look back where you came from. And the one thing that they always tell you if you do have that fear of heights is don't look down. If you don't look down, you'll be good. And you concentrate on what is ahead of you. Forget what's in the past. Move forward and ahead with a heavenly view toward God, toward that walk that Christ Jesus perfected that we should follow. And we can because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's great joy that abounds in those who have this heavenly view and don't look down. Your goal comes closer. Your perspective grows greater. Christ in you, a new creation. You're able to climb the rope of heaven powered by a faith-given heart. Joy and power and confidence and trust and adventure. Is that a cause to rejoice? Is it? It is. I mean, that's a Christian life. It's filled with that. It's awesome life. God works in lives, and He works in lives. Sometimes He doesn't do those good things, and sometimes there's things that He uses to prune you a little bit to make you grow. But nonetheless, He is at work. He is at work in your life. And so we who are citizens of heaven have to look forward to heaven. in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, our citizenship is heaven. It's from there that we're expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in the last day, His second coming, coming down. He'll transform the body of our humiliation, this earthly human body, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory by the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. And so as we have our focus to heaven, there's really kind of three things that we think about when we think about heaven. It's this place at the end of all things that will ultimately be. In Revelation 21:1, you know this verse, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." So there's this ultimate view of heaven at the end of all things, at the end of earth, at the end of the universe that somehow that we'll be part of. There's also this idea of heaven where we will go when we die. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross next to him? In Luke chapter 22, verse 43, he said, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." But see, more importantly for us, is heaven now. We're already part of the kingdom of God. We are, this is a holy outpost of the kingdom of God, in other words. We're ambassadors of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us to others outside here, to others in a dark and dying world, making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." That's the duty of the church, to spread the gospel, to make disciples. And we're part of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talked about this all through the book of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. The kingdom of heaven. We're part of that right now. And every church is a little outpost. Every church around the world, every gathering of Christians here on a Sunday, the first day of the week, are here to live under the tutelage of God, to hear His word, and not to take it and hide it under a bushel. To take that light of His word and take it out through those doors, this beacon that we hold to the outside world. All this is in Philippians chapter 3. In chapter 3, Paul just encourages us to remember to rejoice. Don't rely on your own works. Knowing Jesus is the greatest thing. Press on holding Jesus and knowing Him and hold fast to Him. "For we who are citizens of heaven look forward to heaven." And I encourage you to climb the rope of heaven in the power of Christ. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Holy Father, you are awesome and mighty. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, you are our deliverer. You're the captain of our souls. You are our King, in which we are servants of you, Lord. To follow you, to go where you would have us go. To truly know you better and more and greater. Help our hearts, Holy Spirit, to rejoice in the fact of our position in God, in Christ Jesus, in the presence of the Father, that we may always rejoice, knowing we are children of the living God.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.